Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. This week on the show, we know that worries about money can be a significant factor in poor mental health and that the pandemic crisis of this year is likely to have made those worries much worse for some people. But like all problems, the first step in sorting financial concerns is to talk about them. That's what Talk Money Week, a campaign by the Money and Pension Service, is all about. And that's our focus today. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Who can you talk to about money? That's an important question for us all, given that according to the Office for National Statistics, 63% of us now report being stressed or anxious about money in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the crisis has not affected us all equally. If you are in low income employment, if you are a woman, if you are renting, if you are a parent, if you're from an ethnic minority background, your finances are even more likely to be impacted by the pandemic. That's why Talk Money Week is more important than ever. It is the campaign run by the Money and Pension Service, which aims to encourage us all to talk more about our finances so that those worries can lift a little. Joining me today to do just that is my Fidelity colleague, Tom Stevenson. Tom, thanks for joining me today. Maybe a good place to start here is to ask why we do find it so difficult to talk about money. Why do you think many people so often keep money issues to themselves?
Hi, Ed. Yeah, I think money, talking about money, is very difficult for lots of people. I think it's particularly difficult for us as Brits. I mean, we're particularly coy about talking about our financial affairs. We probably, you know, find it even more difficult than talking about all those other taboos, you know, religion, you know, even sex. We're probably easier talking about that than we are about you know, how much we earn. So I mean, it seems rather silly to find it so difficult to talk about money, but it's a fact of life that we are very coy about it in this country.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of those things where, you know, money is tied up with status, I think, and you know, what the world or the values the world places on something, rightly or wrongly. And I think lots of people can see, talking about their own financial matters as somehow, you know, revealing something about themselves. It's probably a mistake, but we all are guilty, I guess, of using money as a kind of score for life.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's we look at money as a kind of judgment on how well we're doing. You know, it's totally wrong. Of course, it's wrong. You know, there is a great deal more to life than money. I think it's more than that, actually. I think we almost view money as a kind of moral measure. It's not just a financial measure of how well we're doing. It's a measure of how good we are as a person. So I think if we're struggling to make ends meet, or we feel like we're not sort of supporting our family in the way that that we would hope to, then it's almost like a sort of judgment on our worth as a person. So I think that makes it even more difficult to talk about it if things are maybe not going as well as you hope they would.
Yeah, and of course, for all those reasons, you know, money can be a thing that really has a significant impact on people's sense of well-being and on their happiness. You know, not just because it's obviously a very material to the things they can do in their life, you know, and I guess there's people with serious debt problems, and you can understand why they would have, poor mental health because of money. But I guess all of us from time to time, Tom, can feel like we're up against it financially.
Yeah, and you know what? That's because at different times in our lives, we probably are up against it financially. I mean, you know, anyone who gets through their life without having to worry about money is in an extremely fortunate position. You know, even people with, and this is particularly the case now, but even people with, you know, apparently, you know, reasonable jobs, you know, can find themselves, For whatever reason, you know, just because they've got children, you know, perhaps their spouse isn't working, they can find points in their lives when they're really up against it a bit financially, and that That is a stressful environment, you know. If you, especially if you feel like, you know, you are, you know, the breadwinner in a family, then that can put an enormous strain on you.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, you must have been asked many times over the years, Tom, for your advice from people with money issues or money worries. In your experience, is there a good and a bad way to talk about money? I mean, you and I spend a lot of time warning people about the bad things that can happen if they don't get their finances under control, the kind of financial future that they might have ahead of them if they don't act now. But maybe that's just adding to worries that people have.
Yes, I mean, I think there's a good and a bad way to talk about any issues, particularly in a relationship, because, you know, there is often an imbalance between money within a relationship. Maybe one person is earning more than the other person. Maybe one person is more prudent than the other person. One person sort of feels bad about money in a way that the other person does. So I think that in relationships in particular, money can become a divisive issue. And when you're talking about money, and you absolutely have to talk about money with your partner, or you're going to have problems in the future, you have to learn a sensitive way of addressing these issues that works for both of you.
Yeah, and just take the heat out of it, I guess, and sort of lower the stakes, if I can put it that way. You know, if someone's got a money problem, the last thing that they want to hear is, "Oh my God, it really is dramatic. This really is the end of the world," sort of thing. You need to be calm, obviously, and really understand that money problems of almost any size can be resolved. Might take time, might take a bit of sort of dedication and some sacrifices, but it's definitely the case that you can move past financial problems.
Yes, I mean, you know, the money problems are no different from any other problem. I mean, you need to grasp the nettle and try and sort it out. If you leave a problem, it's going to get worse. If you leave any problem, it's going to get worse. But I think that's particularly the case with money, just because of the nature of it's particularly if you have a debt problem. You know, the way that the interest builds up on a debt, if you don't do something about it, it's not going to go away. The problem is not going to disappear. The problem is going to get worse, that the interest is going to mount up, and the longer you leave it, the harder it is to sort it out. But as you said, you know, there are very few financial problems that can't be sorted out with application and discipline and honesty. You know, and if you approach those in those ways, then, you know, you can sort most things out.
Yeah, and I think that time thing is a really important point, isn't it? Because I mean, debt's the obvious example here. If you leave debts and ignore them, well, you probably won't be able to ignore them because you'll have lots of threatening letters from banks and lenders, which will not improve your mental health either. But you can see the same issue at play with something like saving for retirement, where, you know, maybe the stakes aren't quite so high there, but I know a lot of people very worried in the backs of their mind about the fact that they maybe haven't started saving for retirement. They're not saving enough. They know that, but they worry about it too. And actually taking some action will give them a real boost to their mood around that issue, because they'll at least be acting at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about, you know, saving, you know, for something a long way away is that the best time to start is always, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We all know that, you know. But you know, you can't run the clock back. You have to make a start now. And that's the key part with all financial issues, is you've just got to get on with it. You've got to make a start. But human nature being what it's very tempting to put your head in the sand and just to do nothing. And of course, if you do that, it just gets more difficult the longer you leave it.
And if people are finding they are worried about money and they feel down about it and they want to talk to someone about it, I guess it's the case that, you know, ideally you'll find someone who's not going to be judgmental about it, perhaps someone who's not actually also impacted by that money issue. That could be a good place to start if you want to begin to talk and air some of this stuff.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why people, you know, don't address these problems is because they do find it so difficult to find someone who doesn't have skin in the game. You know, if you're in a relationship where there is a money issue, then it's a very emotional thing, and it's very difficult to engage with your partner about these issues in a way that doesn't become, you know, accusatory or divisive, or you express resentment or all of those negative emotions. So maybe if you do find yourself in that situation, seeking out someone who isn't affected by your finances, some kind of neutral person, can be helpful. Because, and also, you may find that when you talk to someone in that position, you may be relieved to find out that actually problems that you thought were unique to your relationship, actually are shared by other people, and that can be an enormous relief when you talk to someone and they say, yeah, I've had that problem too, and this is how I sorted it out, and it wasn't so very difficult.
And finding someone who's sort of impartial would be important, but I guess it is inevitable that, you know, we're going to need to have to talk to family and those closest to us about money from time to time. I mean, you're a parent. What's your approach to talking about money with your children? Because the habits we learn at a young age, they can really affect our financial lives later on. You and I have discussed that before. Are there any rules that you try to follow when you talk to your own kids about money?
Yeah, I guess so. A couple of things, Ed. I mean, there's one rule that I apply to myself, which is about fairness. I think it's really, really important that you treat all of your children in exactly the same way when it comes to money. I think, you know, some people deliberately use money in a divisive way, and of course, that's you know, unconscionable. But some people do it by accident. You know, they just happen to find it easier to help one child out than another, or they do it sort of almost by accident. So I'm really conscious, and always have been really conscious, of treating my children scrupulously, fairly when it comes to money. The rule that I apply to my children, or have done in the past, is really all around personal responsibility, taking accountability for your money. So for example, with you know, with my oldest child, you know, she's now in her sort of late 20s, but so she was keen to get on the housing ladder and keen to save money towards her first flat. And you know what, I obviously I wanted to help her out. Every parent wants to help their child out with that kind of important purchase. But what I said to her was, I want you to take some responsibility here. If you save a certain amount, I will match your savings. And that worked really well, and that it sort of inspired her. And she subsequently said to me, you know, she's so glad that we started out on that footing, because it really empowered her to do something about her money. And you know, she actually moved into this flat just a few weeks ago. So, you know, that was a great success story, and that worked well.
Yeah, and I guess it's a real balance with kids, isn't it? Because you want to, as you say, sort of expose them to the decision making around money. You want them to make a few mistakes along the way, because they might be the most valuable lessons that they learn. But at the same time, you don't want to put too much emphasis on money. I mean, people can carry the hang-ups that they learn from their parents right through their lives in all sorts of areas. But that's definitely true with money. You know, if you're too worried about money in front of children, or you don't set an example of being a bit responsible, you can get an extreme kind of result, can't you? You need to strike the right balance.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of things that are difficult about being a parent, but but how you deal with money is one of the, you know, the seriously challenging questions, because you especially if you've got a little bit of money and your children obviously don't, because, you know, young people don't have any money, and, you know, in young adults don't have any money, it is very, very tempting to just bail them out all the time. And and that doesn't really do anyone any favors. You know, obviously you want to help. Of course you want to help your children, but you also, perhaps the best way that you can help them is by teaching them to be responsible and to face up to the reality of the situations that they put themselves in. And sometimes maybe they have to make mistakes to do that.
Mm. Okay, Tom, let's turn to what people can do to help themselves and those around them once they've aired these worries and they feel ready to take some practical action. It's important to say it doesn't have to be complicated or time consuming. If you are listening to this and you have, if you're worried particularly about debt, you have problem debt, unsustainable debt, and you feel swamped by that, really the first places that you should look are resources like the Citizens Advice Bureau and Step Change, which is a debt charity. They're going to have all the guidance you need. It'll be one place. It'll be simple and easily accessible. But Tom, what about those people who are simply worried about their general financial security in the future, about having enough savings in an emergency or enough money to retire on? What should be their first steps?
Yeah, I think when you look at the sort of long term picture, you know, whether it's money or any other subject, you know, it can be a bit overwhelming. And I think the way to deal with an overwhelming problem is to break it down into more manageable chunks, smaller problems that you can deal with. And I think that, you know, dealing with money is a perfectly good example of how to do this. So, you know, if you think about, you know, your retirement in 30, 40 years time, that may just be such a massive thought. You can't even get your head around what your life will look like in 40 years time. But you do know that if in 3 months time your car breaks down or your boiler breaks down, you know, you're going to have a problem. So but that's a much more manageable problem, isn't it? So, you know, just making a start and putting aside, you know, maybe 3 months' salary over time. It'll take you a little while to save that amount of money, sure. But once you've done that, you'll have a real sort of sense of security that you don't have when you're living hand to mouth. So I would say start small, do the manageable things first, and you know, the bigger things will sort themselves out.
Yeah. I mean, saving is habit forming, isn't it? You know, if you might think, well, you know, what's the point of saving these piddling amounts that I can afford to save? But they add up. But also, you'll be encouraged to do it and do it more and escalate that saving, and you tend to get you build savings a bit more quickly than you might imagine. I would say, for my part, you know, if I think it goes hand in hand. The people who become worried and whose mental health suffers because of financial worries, they tend not to engage too well with their own finances. And I'm talking about things like checking their bank balance, really understanding their incomings and outgoings, and really being on top of that, so they actually know whether they're spending more than they earn. A simple thing like that should be an important first step. And then once you've done that, as you say, you can begin to save. You know, pension savings is part of this. I think a lot of people can be very put off by that. It sounds old fashioned and complicated and boring, I suppose you could say. They may think that they, you know, by sorting out a pension, they've suddenly got difficult and complicated decisions to make that they don't understand. But actually, Tom, the process of starting and saving into a pension can be actually pretty straightforward, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not difficult. And, you know, you use the word boring there. And I think that's, you know, it's really interesting how many people think this is boring. But I can remember, you know, wise words from a former colleague of mine. He would say, if you think that, you know, investing is boring, it's nothing like as boring as not having enough money in retirement and being poor. Yes. in retirement. And, you know, I think that is, you know, that really is, you know, quite profound, really. It's better to be a bit bored now than to be to be poor in 30 years time.
Yeah, but it's not a difficult process these days. if you work for an employer, there's likely to be staff and certainly other kind of resources on hand to help you through the process of starting a pension if that needs to happen, but also of making the few decisions that you do have to make around, you know, where your money's going to be invested. I mean, there's default options all along that journey, so that you don't really have to worry about making any big mistakes here. You just need to start contributing what you can and begin to escalate that as you can.
Yeah, no, it's a simple process. And also, you know, monitoring your investments these days is so much easier than it used to be. I mean, you're not getting piles of sort of paper-based things, you know, maybe from a handful of different pension schemes, for example. You can consolidate your pensions in one place. You can do it all online. It's dead simple. And it just requires that sort of first disciplined step to get it sorted out.
Yeah, and just a final word here, Tom. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but if you're worried about your future and saving money and having a pot of money to retire on, it stands to reason that if you actually act and do something about that, some of that worry is going to dissipate a little bit, you know. And it's true that you know very few people who get on top of their money worries, who air them, talk about them, and then take some steps to sort their worries out, very few people regret that decision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, money is no different from any other aspect of life. You know, if you grasp the nettle and sort things out, you know, at the time when they first, you know, become an issue, then you're not going to regret that. People don't regret the things that they do in life. They tend to regret the things that they don't do.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Tom, it's been great to talk to you about these issues. I think they're really important, especially these days. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Ed.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds, and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.